So I was driving down the interstate the other day, and I came up behind a slower moving car, and so I looked in the side view mirror to check for traffic. And I kid you not, this huge black hearse is barreling down the left-hand lane, overtaking me. And as it passed, I just glanced over, and I could not help but see the big red letters on the sign that was pasted to the door. It said, "Go ahead, text and drive. We need the business." You can't make stuff like that up. Did you see the recent survey in which 32% of children between the ages of 11 and 18 say they have had to tell their parents to stop checking their phones? In that same survey, 86% of children said they believe phones should be banned at mealtime. Within the last couple of weeks, an elementary school teacher down in Louisiana posted a photograph of a writing assignment one of her second grade students turned in. The student wrote, "I don't like phones. My parents are on their phones every day." Smartphones seem to have completely taken over. And they're not always bad. Cell phones have some good, useful purposes. In some ways, they have made life a whole lot easier. At the same time, however, they have created huge distractions. And if there is one thing we do not need any more of, it's distraction. Because we get distracted enough already, and we miss all kinds of stuff. We can miss some really important stuff, you know, like a child's first step, affection from a loved one, a perfect sunrise, a friend in need, an opportunity at a great relationship. There are so many things competing for our attention that it is so easy for us to lose focus on what really matters. And when we do that, we can get lost. We can get lost for eternity unless something refocuses us. And when we get distracted, we need something to shout at us, "Hey, over here. This is important. Pay attention." Fortunately, there is something that can do that. It's the call of Jesus Christ. A couple thousand years ago, Jesus called people to follow him. Today, that same Jesus calls people just like you and me, to be his disciples. So this morning, I want to spend a few minutes and talk about what we can do when Jesus calls. First, though, let's take a moment and pray together. Let us pray. God Almighty, you have called people in every time, every place, and every generation to rise up and live out your gospel. You called Samuel. You called Simon Peter. And you have called men and women in all times to be your holy people. Speak to us today, Lord. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts so that we can hear and respond. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. To help us think a little bit about what we can do when we hear Jesus calling, I want to focus for a couple moments on the story of Jesus' call to a guy named Matthew. We read his story just a few minutes ago, just before the sermon. According to church tradition, this is the same Matthew who wrote the very first book of the New Testament. So Jesus was walking along one day when he noticed this guy named Matthew hard at work collecting taxes. Matthew was a tax collector. And tax collectors were some of the most despised people in the land. They got incredibly wealthy on the backs of ordinary folks just trying to make ends meet. It worked like this. The government had appointed certain members of Jewish society to collect the money necessary to pay for government services. And every year, the Roman authorities expected those appointed to turn over a specified sum of money. At the same time, the Roman authorities gave these tax collectors access to the Roman army so they could have the muscle they needed to collect the money they needed to collect. The thing was that the Roman government didn't set any limit on the amount of money a tax collector could take. So any amount over the specified amount was considered to be the tax collector's salary. They got to keep it. So these tax collectors milked the members of their communities for every penny they could get. And with the muscle of Roman soldiers, the people were at the mercy of the tax collectors. And tax collectors were absolutely hated. The members of the community did not allow the Jewish tax collectors to be part of their religion. Tax collectors were completely ostracized from society. In exchange for wealth and privilege, these tax collectors accepted being shunned by their community. So you can imagine then the people's response that day when Jesus asked a tax collector to be his friend. Matthew was so overwhelmed, he threw this gigantic dinner party for Jesus. All of his tax collector buddies came over to the house, and they had this big shindig with all these shady bunch of folks around the table with Jesus and all of his disciples. The religious leaders who were closely watching the things Jesus said and did lost their minds. They refused to believe that anybody who claimed to be close to God would have anything to do with that kind of person. There's some things that good, decent folks just don't do. In response to that criticism, Jesus said something very profound about the call he makes to people. He said, people who are well don't need to go to a physician. People who are sick go to the doctor. I have not come to call righteous, the righteous. I have come to call sinners. So, what do you do when Jesus calls? Well, one thing you can do when Jesus calls is we can all know that it's real. Because Jesus said he came not to call the righteous, he came to call sinners. He came to make sick people well. And that's such great news because we are all sick. One of the biggest reasons people missed Jesus' call 2,000 years ago was they lived with this assumption that God wouldn't have anything to do with people who are sick, who are not perfect. Now, it's true. Imperfect humanity cannot exist in the perfect presence of God. But God knows that. God understands our inability to be perfect. So the whole reason that God the Father sent the Son into the world was to bridge the gap between God's perfection and our imperfection. Several years ago, there was a news story about this gray whale who swam into the San Francisco Bay. Biologists nicknamed her Phyllis. They speculated that Phyllis was part of hundreds and hundreds of gray whales migrating up the California coast north to Alaska. And for some reason, Phyllis took a right-hand turn underneath the Golden Gate Bridge and swam into San Francisco Bay. All of her instincts told her to head north. So she swam for 25 miles up the San Francisco Bay into the San Pablo Bay and then right into the headwaters of the Petaluma River. When the story came out, scientists were still bobbing up and down in the water trying to figure out how to help this lost whale. Well, you see, Phyllis's problem is our problem. We take wrong turns every day and we get lost. We're not perfect. God demands perfection. We are not perfect people. The tax collectors in Jesus' day certainly were not perfect people. But neither were the scribes and Pharisees, or the Sadducees and the lawyers and the common everyday people. We are all sick. We are all sinners. Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And so when Jesus calls, we can know that his call is real. Second thing we can do when Jesus calls is to understand that the past is history. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter how badly we think that we have messed things up, Jesus has the power and the desire to wash it all away. Jesus came to heal the sick. He didn't come to have a pity party with sick people. He came to make sick people better. There's a great story in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke about this shepherd who had 100 sheep. And one day he noticed that one of his sheep was missing. And so he left the 99 at home and he went out looking for the one who was lost. And he searched and he searched and he searched until he found it. And he brought it home and had a great big party because the one that was lost was now found. Jesus looks for lost people. And he searches and he searches and he searches until he finds them. He brings them home. He binds up their wounds. He heals their hearts. He calms their fears. He welcomes them home and has a great big party. True story about this guy who fell asleep in a trash dumpster down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He was so drunk, he did not realize that the garbage truck had come to take the trash to the county incinerator. And they were about to dump the whole load over into the incinerator when at the last minute, workers noticed a pair of hands and they pulled the guy out. The safety inspector said that this guy in all likelihood would have been killed, but they rushed him to the North Broward Medical Center and he ended up only having a few cuts and bruises. Jesus pulls people out of the trash heap of existence. He saves us from destruction. He binds up our wounds. He heals our hurts. He calms our fears, and he welcomes us home. So when Jesus calls, we can know that it's real, and we can understand that the past is history. And the third thing we can all do when Jesus calls is we can realize that Jesus has a place for us. It's not always obvious why Jesus cares for people. But we must never underestimate the value of every single individual, especially ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about the body of Christ. He says that just like the body is made up of lots of different parts, the holy body of Christ Jesus the Lord, the church, is made up of lots of different parts. And no one part is any more or any less important than any other part. And every part, every member, has a crucial role to play in the body. Even tax collectors. When Bill Clinton was still president, he once said that he looked forward to a day when a citizen of this country could call the IRS and get the correct answer to a question. In response, comedian Jay Leno, who was still hosting The Tonight Show at the time, said that he looked forward to the day when he could call the IRS and get a voice-recorded message that said, "We're sorry, the number you have reached is no longer in service." Tax collectors have never been popular. Archaeologists once uncovered a stone tablet that was 3,000 years old. They found it in a rock, and it had an inscription that read, "You can have a lord, you can have a king, but the man to fear is the tax collector." What possible use would Jesus of Nazareth have with tax collectors? And yet the call of Matthew, the tax collector, is undeniable. He became prominent as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He became an evangelist of the early Christian faith. And while they are not recorded, his missionary travels are said to be extensive. If Jesus has a place for tax collectors, Jesus has a place for you and me. So when Jesus calls, we can know that it's real. We can understand that the past is history. And we can realize that Jesus has a place for us. Jesus has a place for you right here at this table. See, friends, this is not Kirkwood's table. This is not a Presbyterian table. This is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has a place at His table for every single person on this planet. He has a place for you, and He has invited you to come and sit down beside people like Matthew the tax collector and experience the power, the wonder, the joy, and the presence of God, who calls you to come follow Him. I'll ask our servers to come forward as we prepare the table to celebrate this gracious gift of God.